Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on the program tonight, markets and company news from Just One Lapse. Simon Brown, good evening to you. ShopRite Holdings increasing sales from continuing operations by 9.6, let's call it 10% at the halfway stage of the financial year. This company is powering ahead. We'll talk about Woolworths in just a moment. Not so much.
Yeah, evening, Jeremy. ShopRite, absolutely. I mean, we almost kind of sanguine and we kind of like, shrug our shoulders and say, well, yeah, 10%, it's ShopRite. Their online business absolutely still growing up almost 50%. That base obviously getting bigger and bigger, so those numbers get harder to hit. But what really struck me about it is that a lot of this is coming from their Checkers, which is kind of their mid-tier, which is also sort of their major competitor there, is to a degree Spar, but definitely Pick and Pay, which I think says a lot around Pick and Pay and Spar. They're still able to pick up market share there. It's not good for either of those two retailers, but it is just another really strong performance from ShopRite. We'll get more details with results in terms of margins and the like. They've still got some challenges with currencies in some of their markets, Angola, Ghana and the like, but broadly another really strong update from them.
Simon, if online sales are up 47, let's call it almost 50%, is there a case to be made that long term the bricks and mortar side of this business might be under threat?
That's an excellent point, and I do ponder that. At this point, no. I mean, they're a long way from they're doing what almost 130 billion revenue in the first half. The online is undoubtedly smaller. They don't give us a lot of details around it, but certainly it is smaller, but I think it does. But it's also it's how they use it. They kind of use their ShopRite as kind of dark stores. In other words, where they use it as warehousing. Of course, they're not dark stores. You and I and the listeners out there are navigating around the Checkers 60-60 folks who are out there. But it is something which they've got to keep an eye on. That said, you will often see companies kind of cannibalize themselves in order to get to the new innovation. And there was that brilliant book, now maybe 30 years ago, The Innovator's Dilemma. When you are the leader, you need to be brave enough to almost cannibalize your existing business to find those new opportunities.
It's also about diversification. I mean, if you look at Pet Shop Science, part of the group, 53 new stores. Checkers Outdoor, I didn't even know that existed, 11 new stores. And Unique Clothing, 11 new stores. An entity called Little Me, again, don't know about that, but it's also got a total of 12 stores now. So the tentacles here are really growing, aren't they?
And this is incredibly smart by ShopRite. I'm with you. I hadn't heard of many of them, the Outdoor, the Little Me. And what they're doing, 30 stores for ShopRite is not a big number across, in terms of adding to a brand, essentially trying that brand. If it works, they've got themselves another whole new direction that they can earn revenue in. And for them, if it doesn't work, well, no worries. They tried it. It failed. That's fine. I think the trick is, I suspect ShopRite management will do it. I think the trick is very much that they will cut it quick. The risk is you try something and you keep on pouring money into it. It doesn't work and it becomes a bottomless pit. But in the case of ShopRite, as long as they are happy to say, look, we've got metrics. If we don't meet them, if they're not good enough for us, if they're not margin accretive and profit accretive, then no thanks. But I like all the little bits they're trying. They're never going to be as big as the other brands, but they can be quite significant.
Simon, bit of an admission from me tonight. I have and will always be a Woolworths underwear man. We don't need to talk about it. But the company expecting first half headline earnings to fall by 27%. The problem is its apparel business.
It absolutely is. The food is doing perfectly fine. The apparel, the beauty, that just continues to disappoint. The new CEO, who's ex of Levi, that really was a sense of, don't touch the food part. That runs on its own. Although the CEO there has exited. But the food works. I love the Woolies food experience. The clothing is where they're having a trouble. And I got to say, I expected more from them by this point in the equation. The new CEO has had plenty years to get it working. I appreciate it's hard. I appreciate turnarounds always take longer. but we're just not yet seeing very much evidence of that turnaround yet. And it is worrying because, you know, it's significant to them. And without food working, it is dragging down without clothing working, it's dragging down that really superb food business.
Talking about food, hot listeners will be exposed to AVI through brands like Five Roses, Baker's and House of Coffees, and the company expecting first half earnings to increase by as much as 10%.
Yeah, and Jeremy, we've chatted AVI before, and the one key thing with AVI is they will defend their margins. In other words, they're not going to chase market share with price reductions. If they get input price increases, they pass them on to the consumer every time, and it's working here. Overall revenue, only 1.1% higher, not a lot of growth there at all. But as you mentioned, headline earnings expected to be potentially 8 to 10% higher, and that's that hanging on to the margins, hanging on to the efficiencies. We've discussed before how Tiger Brands, by contrast, chases volume. That's nice, but unfortunately, it does mean that your margins might get squeezed and hence your profitability. AVI has always said, nope, for us, it's about maintaining that margin. They have stuck to their guns for as long as I've been watching this company, and they've managed to do it. Perhaps that's the equally impressive point. It's one thing to say we won't sacrifice margins, but they're able to do it, and we see it in the profits.
Interesting to see Tiger Brands, though. You've just referenced them. Their share price was up about 4% earlier in the day. Again, what's driving that?
Yeah, so it's come down a bit. I do think it was on the back of that AVI. The market saw AVI and thought, hang on, AVI is looking quite strong. Can Tiger Brands come to the party? I do expect improving numbers from the likes of Tiger Brands, a couple of headwinds in their favor. Input costs, which is obviously, you know, your maize and wheat and the like, have been helping. No load shedding, that certainly helps at the same time. So some of their input costs, there will be less pressure there. That'll certainly help margins, but they're in the same space, but they managed it differently, and I think that was the market kind of getting maybe a little bit ahead of itself. We'll get an update soon enough and get better sense of what Tiger Brands is doing.
And AVI share price up by just over 1% today. Simon, let's talk telephone numbers. We've got this new Chinese AI platform called DeepSeek. It's really impacted NVIDIA. There's a route of $589 billion. Just by way of reference, South Africa's GDP is $400 billion. So effectively, the loss here is equal to buying a massive chunk of South Africa's economy. This is massive. It's huge.
It is massive. And another way to put it as well is it's the loss is more than 487 of the 500 companies in the S&P 500. It is absolutely humongous. It's the single biggest loss in any one day from NVIDIA. And I don't think the pain is necessarily over. There are some questions, and they are fair questions around, you know, is DeepSeek really everything it claims to be? Are we certain that they really only spent $6 million, which, you know, to you and I is a big number, but to an AI space is not even a coffee bill for your first week at work. But at this point in time, the market is a bit spooked. The truth of the matter, Jeremy, is that, you know, any moat can be breached. And I would like to be so brave as, and this might come back and bite me one day, and I would like to be so brave as to say, ultimately, every moat gets breached, and maybe this is the breaching of NVIDIA and chips, GPUs, which are, you know, streets ahead of their nearest competitor. But suddenly, if you don't need them, if you can do the inference with cheaper ways, then suddenly being the best chip maker doesn't actually help.
Simon Brown from Just One Lap, always appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.